Once upon a time, Goldilocks discovered some delicious iced coffee in someone else's home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
She sipped on and on, blissfully unaware that the bear stood watching.
Barry, say something.
Roar. Was that good?
The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined by Jerry Hamilton. Bobby, hopefully you'll be with us here shortly. I think he's actually coming on right now, Jerry. It looks like he's having a little computer issues this morning. Yeah. But hey, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Obviously, get your questions in. We'll get to as many of those as we can. There's Bobby. I'm going to add him to the stage here. Good morning, Bobby.
How you doing, guys? Y'all doing all right this morning?
Doing good, man. I'm on the road in DFW, and we'll get out in a little bit. I'm going to be out at Duncanville spring game tonight, and made two or three stops yesterday, one of which we'll talk about. But everything's going great. Yeah, let us know where we're checking in from. I'm checking in from DFW. That's what I'll say. Bobby, I think you're still checking in from Franklin, Tennessee.
I'm here, guys. I'm actually in Brentwood, Jerry. I'm one town up. That's where I live. I wanted to mention this. We've got a bunch of stuff going on, and I'm sorry for being a tad late. My computer would not fire up this morning, so that was a problem I was having. Hey, the whole NCAA stuff is coming to a head right now. We need to get into that at some point today if we get a chance. The NCAA versus the House, which is the lawsuit. Two different conferences have now agreed to the terms of those issues. And so I think that right now we need to be on the lookout for that sort of stuff and what's happening there. There does seem to be some issues between the large conferences and the smaller conferences at this point. We'll have to wait and see how that goes.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to get into all that and more here momentarily. But first, let's start with the news of the day every day here lately, and that's recruiting. Jerry, as you said, you're on the road. What's the latest?
Yeah, so I went and watched Michael Fasusi, Louisville High five-star offensive tackle. I went and watched him train with Donald Hawkins, a former UT offensive lineman and NFL offensive lineman, does a great job training young offensive linemen in the DFW area. So thank you to Donald Hawkins for letting me join in yesterday and watch him work out some guys, some younger linemen, and Michael Fasusi. We'll have a nice interview with Michael Fasusi on Texas Football probably later today. A really good interview with Michael. So we'll have that later today here on the YouTube channel. I put up some notes on TexasFootball.com this morning. But yeah, Fasusi's up to 302 pounds. He was 290 during the season last year. So that gradual good weight gain, he has added good weight to his frame. Looks really good physically. Nursing a little bit of a post-spring practice, you know, just tightness in his hamstring a little bit. But put in good work with Hawk yesterday. What I liked about Fasusi in that workout was what impressed me was before we get to the recruiting part is that he was sponge-like. You know, he's a kid that's been nationally recruited for a couple of years now. He's told how talented he is for a couple of years now. Sometimes those guys, they don't always take to coaching, right? And they kind of, maybe they think they have it all figured out. That's not Fasusi. He's been playing football 3 years, moved to the States when he was 12 years old. So he's one of those guys that's a sponge, right? And I think that's going to benefit him greatly down the line. As far as his recruitment, I think he'll end up staying in state. And that doesn't mean Oklahoma doesn't have a shot. I just think that's what will end up happening. So I think he'll end up at Texas or Texas A&M is my bet as of right now. And I think Oklahoma's in it. I'll tell you what, he really likes the Missouri offensive line coach. Coach Jones, who played at Texas Tech, came to Missouri from Houston, coached. I think he got his start in college coaching under Lincoln Riley, East Carolina. Then he went to Cal under Sonny Dykes, and then Houston, had a couple other stops. Now at Missouri, Lamont Rogers really like that's Missouri's a sleeper for Lamont Rogers with Coach Jones as well. I think Fasusi ends up staying in state at the end of the day, Bobby. And you know, he's a guy who, he's ranked high, and as talented as he is, he's not even close to where he can be. I mean, those are the type of guys you like. He has a long way to reach that ceiling, which I think is what makes him such an important recruit for Texas, for Texas A&M, for Oklahoma.
Jerry,
I think he's got a very – yeah.
Go Jerry, ahead. I had a couple questions for you. Where is he from originally? You said he moved to the States in 2012.
Yeah, he moved. I think it was Senegal. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right. And then, you and I talked about him last night a little bit after you sent me some video of him actually doing the workout with Donald Hawkins as well and whatnot. Do you think he's a left tackle or a right tackle? Do you think he's a left tackle?
Yeah, I think he's a left tackle. I think he's got left tackle athleticism, left tackle feet, left tackle reactive quickness, body quickness. I think left tackle is where he'll start his college career. By the way, some of those video clips are on texasfootball.com on the Michael Fasusi thread. I put some of those up this morning. But, yeah, I think he'll play left tackle. I think it's a very interesting recruitment too, by the way, because, you know, look, Texas wants to – they want to win out for the top guys in the state of Texas, right? He's a premium position player. Just like Colin Simmons was last year, DeCorian Moore, that Texas went out for those premium position players, those best guys in the state. Then you also have Oklahoma in the DFW area fighting hard for one of the top offensive tackles in the country. Then you have Texas A&M, who absolutely has to have a really good offensive line class in 2025 and would like to do better in the DFW area under Elko than they were doing for staff. So you have some interesting kind of fights going on in this recruitment for Michael Fasusi. But he said, the one thing he said, and you guys will see the video, is I've never had a bad visit to Texas. He like literally didn't have anything bad to say about Texas. Really like Kyle Flood. I think Texas bringing him in for a spring practice where it was just him and it wasn't a big recruiting weekend, it was just him and his father, was a really, really good for Fasusi and for Texas. He got to go through a day with Texas without there being 30, 40 other recruits there, where Steve Sarkisian had his time split a lot of places and Kyle Flood could even have his time split a lot of places. So I think Fasusi got everything they wanted to out of that spring visit. And I do think the official visits are going to decide this. He wants to decide, have a decision in August before his senior season. He's going to graduate in December. But I do think the June officials are going to, they're going to decide this. For sure.
Hey, Jerry, question for you. You, how would you handicap this right now? Like 40-40-20 between Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma, with A&M and Texas being the 40-40? Or how you say you think he's staying in state, so that clearly means you think the two in-state teams are leading here. What? How would you break it down from a numbers perspective there out of 100%?
Yeah, I would say maybe – 44 Texas, 36 A&M, 20 Oklahoma.
Okay.
That is where they take a fifth official visit. It could be Oregon. It could be Georgia. But I think I think Texas' last visit, I think Texas is probably the favorite, slight favorite. But, again, let's see. What June, these official visits are going to decide this. All those conversations between Michael, his father, and the universities, collectives and everything in June is going to decide.
It was interesting because he was working out in A&M gear yesterday, by the way. We were laughing about that. We didn't sit there and put that up there to tease everybody. But these guys work out in so much different, they get so much different gear from all the places they go. It's good workout gear. So they're in it. Jerry, also yesterday, you're out and about again today a little bit across the Metroplex. What are you up to today, and what are you looking for on the recruiting trail?
Yeah, so I'm going to be at Duncanville spring game. That's scheduled to be begin about 7 p.m. tonight. They have the JV spring game first. So I might make a couple of stops, which we'll talk about a later date today as well. But Duncanville spring game today, which is, you know, look, I'm not sure it gets any better than a Duncanville spring game right now. I get to see DeCorian Moore. Get to see Keelan Russell, KJ Ford, the 2026 edge, who will be at Texas Elite Camp June 1st, and a number of all those young, talented players at Duncanville. So I'm really excited to see guys their spring game, maybe catch up with DeCorian Moore. Somebody's mentioned Keelan Russell on here. Yeah, Keelan Russell will visit Alabama May 31st through June 2nd. I actually think Alabama, despite Keelan Russell being committed to SMU, I think Alabama may be the front runner for him. He'll also visit Florida June 7th through 9th. Then he'll go to Oregon that last weekend in June. But I think Alabama may be the front runner for Keelan Russell, despite his commitment to SMU right now.
Well, the thing that was interesting, you mentioned that June elite camp. You and CJ were doing a lot of work on that board yesterday. And what I mean by that is how many different players are coming in. It went from about 10 to 15 kind of blue chip caliber guys yesterday to about 25. It looks like this will be the year where Steve Sarkisian kind of gets ahead of the game of other teams in the area as far as getting guys to the elite camp. Last year, A&M had more guys at their elite camp. This year, I think Texas is going to actually have more for their June underclassmen elite camp. That worm has finally turned where more guys are going to Texas earlier than other schools. You agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And we talk about the college coaches, which this is their final two, three days on the road, by the way. And we talk about it. They go see the top 25 prospects, right? Have those final meetings with those kids and a family member at the school before the June official visits. But think about how many players Texas has offered in 26 this month. And some of those guys will be coming to campus June 1st, 2nd, that weekend. One of those guys, Azelis Hicks, the safety out of Carrollton, Georgia, who was on campus in March. Texas was by the school in May. He told us at On Texas Football that he'll be in Austin June 1st for the elite camp. So you're seeing, I think that's with Tashard Choice and Kenny Baker working the state of Georgia now. I think a couple other D linemen are possibilities to be in Austin June 1st. You're starting to see Texas get more of those kids on campus, like you said, Bobby, for the June 1st elite camp. And look, it's a big day because last year KJ Lacy committed during the elite camp. This year you have Diabelle, AJ Milwee was out to watch him throw at American Heritage Monday. You have Troy Hune, the quarterback out of Mission Hills in San Marcos, California. I believe AJ Milwee's out today to watch him. So those are the two quarterbacks. They're going to be at the elite camp June 1st, and I really think they're competing for to be the guy in the class. And that doesn't mean it's a lead pipe cinch that both those guys go to Texas, but I think those are the two guys that are going to throw in front of Steve Sarkisian, and that's going to maybe be the deciding factor and be around those guys one more time. You know, be around them, watch them interact with other players in recruits. But Racine Guillory should be on campus June 1st. Two offensive linemen from IMG. Two of the best in the country are going to come in June 1st. We believe John Turntine, Toa Katoa, some of those linemen will be in on the 1st as well. Isaiah Williams, the safety from Fort Bend Marshall, who I think is, you know, the best way I can describe him for people to ask. He's what Alabama and Georgia have been playing with for the last decade as safety. Big safety, really can run. He sticks his foot in the ground, and he's explosive. He's fast. He's going to be a 205-pound, 210-pound kid. He's got that frame. He's got that quickness. He's got that physicality. His teammate Caleb Chester was really high on him when I was by the school last week. So Texas is going to get a lot of guys on campus for that June 1st elite camp. And then that 13th, 14th weekend, which is more of a big man camp at times, I think Texas is going to have a really good turnout for that as well.
Okay, guys. Well, before we move on here, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, absolutely. Coffee and Football on Wednesday mornings brought to you by Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, a motorcycle accident, or even ATV, you want to give Adam and his group a chance to talk to you. They got free consultation, absolutely free, no strings attached. Visit them at lowylawfirm.com. That's lowylawfirm.com. Give them a call, reach out to them via email, however you want to talk to them. But they can take you through a process that allows you to figure out whether or not you might be due some compensation. Thanks again to Adam and his team for their sponsorship of Wednesday morning's Coffee and Football.
Okay. Well, one of the other things that we want to talk about when it comes to recruiting, there was a report out that came out yesterday from footballscoop.com, and they are saying that the NCAA is now going to vote as soon as next month, possibly, on a June signing period. This would make July, the whole month of July, a dead period, and it would also make the December signing period go from the third Wednesday to the first Wednesday. Y'all's thoughts?
So I think the movement, the bigger piece here is not necessarily the June signing day, although I think that's valuable. To me, the real value here is moving the December signing day ahead of the portal opening. Because when the portal opens, it throws everything into chaos. I'll just be clear about that. But, you know, the NCAA, I don't know. We've tried and tried and tried to improve upon the original model, which was one signing day in February for all schools. And I shouldn't say the original model, but a model. And all it's done is caused more consternation and moved up the recruitment of players younger and younger. If they want to do that, that's fine. But really, going back to February is a better solution, in my opinion. I'm just going to say it. You go back to February where it was and have guys go through the recruiting process in December and January, you don't have to worry about June official visits. I mean, you want to talk about I just think the NCAA and all of what they are doing, they're trying to make it a little bit better, but I think they're just reshuffling deck chairs. Go back to one signing day and be done with it, as opposed to trying to do, you know, negotiate two different signing days and figure all this out before a guy even steps on the field as a high school senior. I mean, what does a guy have to prove as a high school senior now? He's already got a scholarship. I don't know that I love it. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think the tough thing is matching the high school signing periods with the portal windows. I think that's the toughest thing. Somebody just made a comment, there should only be one portal window opening in the spring. I mean, that's been talked about a lot as well. Look, if the college coaches can go in January and not just go to the high school and say hello to the coach. If you can now sit down with the kid and the family in January, and you can do that again in May, and then you can have official visits in April and May. I've just been of the opinion, if that's going to stand, then these kids should be able to sign in June. I mean, I still think only maybe 30-40% of kids would sign in June, but those are the kids who are going to go to those schools come hell or high water, coaching change or whatever. That's where those guys absolutely want to be. I think kids should be able to sign in June. If it stands as it is now and you can take official visits starting in the spring of your junior year, to me, it's never made sense why those kids should have to wait to actually sign. But the big question for me, Bobby, is moving forward, once college football eventually gets the profit sharing, and the NCAA is eliminated, is there even going to be a signing period? Or are we just going to get to the point where when the deal's reached, you sign and it's over? Long-term question I have.
I agree. I don't know that the NCAA is going to be eliminated at this point. Not if they get this ruling passed, because the thing that the NCAA has is they have money. And so of this $3 billion or $2.8 billion settlement, Jerry, the NCAA is footing up roughly half of it, or 1.4 or something like that, of the $2.8 billion. So if they have money to spend, those schools are going to latch on to that and use that. And so they're going to need to protect the NCAA to some degree. I don't disagree that I think you either have one date or every day. I'm not these signing before your high school senior year for the sport of football. You know, yeah, it can protect the player, but it can also hurt the player. Think of all the guys that go out and try to win scholarships as seniors because they were injured their junior year or because they're late bloomers, et cetera. I'm not on board with it. I think that we've tried to improve the process and in the name of progress, we've actually went backwards. That's what I think. And so there's that. To your point, though, we can disagree. Good men can disagree on that, though. I mean, I don't know that I have all the answers. To your point about it being the portal and how it matches with high school recruiting, I do think that's important because college coaches need to know what they need to backfill, right, to be ready for football season. And you can't do that with recruiting the high school player before you recruit or after you recruit the college player. The college player has to come first because they're filling typically more immediate needs. And so you have to be cognizant of that. And so I like that coming afterwards, but I don't know exactly how it's going to work out. Yeah. I mean, this is a brave new world for college football. We all agree with that. College sports generally. To be honest with you, this whole signing period, it's more circling the drain to me. It's like when I said reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, do something that actually matters. They're trying to, but I just think it's going to be failed again.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing, Bobby, I think the interesting thing is going to be, I'm not sure there's going to be a February signing period anymore in the next 5 years.
I know.
Because
it makes no sense. So nobody, you're going to be playing, guys are going to be playing the state championship game, not and have a great year and not be able to go on any real visits.
Right.
Because yeah, I mean, what, you know, Drew Brees would have ended up at freaking Incarnate Word.
Yeah. Well, so the crazy thing to me is why I think the February signing period is going to go away is, did you say Texas class, for instance, 17 to 21 are early enrollees. There's only four guys left out there. I mean, so like we're getting to a point where 80 to 85% of the kids at the power schools are going to be graduate high school in December and get to college and start their at college clock, their football clock, and their NIL clock. So when we hit that 80% number, I think we're not far off at that point from, oh, there's not even going to be a February signing period the way things are headed right now.
Yeah. Got it. I don't. That's something to consider, to your point, Jerry, the mid-year. But really, given the two portal times that players have, unless they come up with a guy has to stay for an entire year,
right,
after he transfers somewhere, I mean, a guy could sign with Texas in December or June, show up in January, and leave in May. So, you know, I don't know.
The other interesting
I think they need to come up with a set of rules. You know, one year, one time transfer. The guy Tyler Barron right now at Tennessee. You've been following this, right?
Yep.
Transfers from Tennessee to Louisville in January of this past year. Okay, goes to Louisville, participates in spring ball, I believe. Well, guess what? He just committed to Miami.
Yeah.
This is not by the way, this is not a guy that is just a guy. He's a real player.
Yep.
Like he's a potential second, third round draft pick.
Yep.
Well, Miami, it's like Kendrick Blackshear for Texas. What's he going to do? Go to a third team in 3 and 6 months? You know, I feel like there has to be some common sense to this. And what the NCAA has done, instead of trying to legislate with common sense, is they just thrown their hands up.
Yeah. And this is the third problem. This is the third reason why this is such a great topic. Is life isn't fair. I get it. But the one thing I've been saying is currently right now, if you have a coaching change, it's not even close to being fair. And I know life isn't fair. I get it. But think about putting it in Texas shoes right now. Texas has a coaching change in November. Portal period opens. One official visit weekend before signing day. And you're trying to hire a coach, and that guy's going to have a chance to get any players. It like literally sets you way back a new coaching hire. So it's such a tough mix right now. It's forcing, I think, colleges to fire coaches earlier. But the guys you want, and now it's going to be even harder, because let's say Florida has a coaching change this year. Let's just say that schedule beats up Napier and everybody else in Gainesville, and they have a coaching change. Well, who are they going to target? Lane Kiffin? Eli Drinkwitz, Dan Lanning. Well, two of those three may be in the playoffs this year. So when are those guys actually going to come to Florida if they make the move? So it's somewhat of a mess right now. I know that people say, well, NIL's a mess, but the signing period, the portal, coaching changes, it's all a mess right now. I don't know if there is one surefire answer. There's a lot of navigating that college football is going to have to go through on this.
Well, Steve Sarkisian was hired after signing day and then did not sign another player, I don't think, for the entire month of January because everybody was gone come the February signing period.
Yep.
I mean, coaching changes are negatively incentivized, I guess is the best way to put it. By the NCAA's rules. But look, this is there's a lot of things you could do to mitigate these problems. Pushing it back to February of a prospect's senior year is not a bad thing unless they want to enroll early. If they want to enroll early, let them sign in December. I'm fine with that. If they enroll early, but you can't sign in December. You shouldn't be able to sign in December unless you're an early enrollee. That's my personal opinion. And now moving it into June, you shouldn't be able to sign in June unless you're an early enrollee. You don't know what's going to be going on a year from then in your life. I mean, give me a break. I know that coaches and players will deal with this as needed, but it makes very little sense. Very, very little sense.
Hey, I don't know. Odin Horns, Blake, brought this up. Is that been released? It could have been released while we were doing this show. I haven't seen that, but I wanted to bring that up if that was official.
Yeah, I was trying to find out if that was official. So give me a minute and we'll come back to it.
That's going to be a fun conversation because that's quite the schedule.
Well, if that's the case, here's the issue too. You keep OU, A&M in Arkansas.
Yeah.
The rest are new.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be unheard of, in my opinion.
No. No.
You're essentially I do think Texas needs to play OU, A&M in Arkansas every year.
Every year, 100%.
Yes. I mean, I wish they would add LSU to that mix just because of the proximity, and I think that could be a tremendous, tremendous rivalry.
It seems to me that LSU, Florida are going to be on a rotation. Alabama, Georgia on a rotation, right? Ole Miss, Mississippi State on a rotation. That's what it's seeming like early on. But you know what we don't see there? Tennessee. So does that mean 4 years in with no Tennessee?
Or Auburn.
Or Auburn.
Yeah. Seeing anything on this regarding it being – official yet for 2026. I don't I can't find anything on social media or on in the news or whatever it may be. So that may just be speculation at this point. We will see. All right, guys. Well, Bobby, why don't you we've been talking about the NCAA proposed rule changes, but yesterday I believe the ACC joined the Big 12 to settle up against the NCAA. Can you explain that to folks? I know you have
a good handle on it. There are 32 conferences that play in FBS, but a lot of them are basketball only, right, at the highest level. So this settlement with the NCAA versus the House, there are obviously five major conferences, really four now, if you realize that the Pac-12 is DOA. And so the four conferences, the Big 12 and the ACC, have voted, their presidents and directors have voted to agree to the settlement. Texas yesterday abstained. As a member of the Big 12, Texas and OU actually abstained from voting because they didn't think it was fair for them to vote on the Big 12. They're going to go with the SEC in a month and a half anyways. But that doesn't mean that they're not for it. It just means they thought it was probably politically correct not to say yes or no to, with somebody else's money, since they're not going to be part of the Big 12. All right, well, the Big 12 voted yes to agree to it. The ACC voted yes to agree to it. Now we're waiting on the SEC and Big Ten, obviously, right, for the big conferences. The problem is that the smaller conferences are saying, wait a minute, we're paying too much of the bill here. The Big East, it used to be a sizable conference for, especially for basketball. It still is, I guess, for basketball. They've come out and said, wait, we're overpaying our percentage. You're asking us, 90% of the money, apparently, is going to be going to athletes in the Big Four conferences. And they're asking the teams or the conferences in the smaller ones to foot 50% or 60% of the bill to do so. So the Big East has kind of thrown a fly in the ointment and said, wait a minute. We want to see the numbers here, and we want to pay less, which would put the bill on Texas, Alabama, Notre Dame, those kind of guys, make it another $5 million probably higher. So it's all interesting. The other topic of conversation in college sports right now is private equity investment in college football programs. Two different articles this morning, one from Yahoo and one from The Athletic, talking about exactly that. These teams like Texas are going to be on the hook for $300 million. Well, Texas can curb expenses. When you do $250+ million in revenue, you can curb expenses and take a bite of the $30 million, right? Well, what if you're, what if you're Wake Forest? Where are you going to get that $30 million whenever you only have $120 million or $100 million or $80 million in sales? Well, they're going to some people are going to private equity to basically extract loans against future revenues, apparently. So that's some of these. Again, it's nice to be Texas. I guess it's nice to be Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida. Not nice to be Florida right now when your head coach is getting sued over a bad NIL deal, but
when the heat's already on him, by the way.
Yeah, when the heat's already on. But overall, I think that the next piece after they get through this House settlement will be how some of these schools actually fund their settlements.
Okay, guys. Well, before we move on, Jerry, it's everybody's favorite time of the morning. I'm going to let you tell folks out there about the good folks at Manscaped.
Look, I normally have my handyman with me for this when I'm on the road, but the handyman's in the car, man. I do a little beard shaving when I'm rolling up I-45 yesterday, just a little trim. But hey, guys, fellas, blink if you haven't purchased that Father's Day gift yet. Yeah, we thought so. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Maybe your pops has had a bush since the 70s. Oof, that's okay, though. Our friends at Manscaped have crafted the total package for this special day, whether it's for the boys downstairs, his beard, or even the best pair of underwear out there. Manscaped has his bases covered. Head on over to manscaped.com. and get 20% off plus free shipping code with On Texas, all caps. That's the code, On Texas, all caps, from daddy to zaddy. Trust Manscaped. Look, if he carries a lot of body hair like most dads do, then you're in luck with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. This bad boy is designed with your fathers in mind, featuring the signature Lawnmower 5.0. Father's Day is also the perfect time for your old man to stop stealing his wife's old nail clippers and finally have a kid of his own that will last a lifetime. The Shears 3.0 is the five-piece precision men's nail grooming kit that any father needs to stay on top of his self-care with professional-grade stainless steel tools. That's manscaped.com. 20% off. The code is On Texas, all caps. There you go.
Jerry, coming out of that read, I got to read you this one.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the June 1 camp. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Sark After Dark wants to know, Diabelle or Troy Hoon, call your shot. What do you got, Jerry Hamilton?
It's tough. So I may lean slightly Diabelle. So American Heritage, state of Florida, Sark and those guys are going to have success in California, right? And I'm not talking – I'm talking before the ball's rolled out and Sark and Milwee watch these guys perform on Elite Camp Day. Diabelle, great personality. Dad was obviously an NBA player. Interviewing him a couple weeks ago in American Heritage, I was extremely impressed with his makeup. He had some leadership out there. He plays on a talented team, and he wasn't afraid to get after guys in a practice setting. I was impressed with Diabelle. I think Troy Hoon may have a little more arm talent. I think Diabelle may be more athletic. I think Troy Hoon moves in the pocket really well. Basketball family, mom basketball coach, moves in the pocket really well. Similar to Trey Owens like that, maybe even a little quicker with the feet than Trey Owens. I think Diabelle can make more plays outside the pocket. He's not a runner, but just make more plays outside the pocket. Bobby, you compared him to Shedeur Sanders as the player. I thought that was a very interesting comparison, but I think Diabelle is a naturally accurate kid. Look, Sark doesn't recruit any guys that can't make all the throws. So anybody that's like, well, what's the arm strength? Well, Sark isn't going to offer you if you can't make all the throws in an NFL system. But I think there's some value with Diabelle. If it's really close and Texas has a hard time deciding between those two guys, there might Diabelle, there may be some things that push Diabelle ahead. We'll see.
Very interesting.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's actually
read that one, Blake.
Hey guys, I have to take a call just like yesterday. Pull me out for a couple of minutes. I'll
All right. Well, luckily, perfect timing here because this one's actually for you, Bobby and Jack. Thank you for the super chat. Jack says, Bobby, last night, Rod mentioned that coaches can have more contact in June and July with the team, but didn't expand on what that meant. Can you please explain that for us? Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2 years ago, until 2 years ago, and I say two, it's actually just one year old now. Coaches could not actually be on the field with football players during the summer months. They had to totally rely on the strength and conditioning staff to take kids through the motions, make sure they're getting fit, et cetera. The NCAA a year ago, or actually a year and a half ago, relaxed those restrictions and now allow college coaches, the actual wide receiver coach, to be on the field with the wide receivers in June and July. So they're not necessarily, it's not a full-blown practice, but they can actually put them through the motions and through the workouts, et cetera. No balls that you can't be throwing from receiver to quarterback, et cetera, or quarterback to receiver. But all of the plays and installations and things like that, you can actually do a lot of that now, whereas you couldn't before. They couldn't even meet with them in their offices at certain times. The NCAA has finally removed those restrictions, and that's what Rod was talking about, a way for coaches to actually coach more as opposed to just handing the team over to the strength and conditioning staff during the summer months. That's effectively what happened. After spring practice, the strength and conditioning staff would be the coaches for 3 months, which I thought was always ridiculous. I mean, look, I mean, stop trying to, again, legislate where you don't need to. Just, it's always a recipe for failure, always. And that's actually, that's all the NCAA has ever done, in my opinion. And in so many instances, they came at it from the wrong way mentally and strategically for the long, and it clearly it hasn't hurt. It hasn't hurt the development of college football as a sport. Okay. But we are where we are today because of that mismanagement that's been going on for 40 years. I mean, really 40 years. That's how long the NCAA, in my opinion, has been mismanaged.
Bobby, here's this one from Mike D. Obviously, the camp, big camp coming up for Texas, but he wants to know, are people able to go watch the players at the elite camp or any other camps?
No, not unless you're a parent or relative or high school coach that's taking the players to the camps. They are private. Texas restricts that, and everybody else does as well.
And here's an interesting question from King Me. He says, what do you think's worse for recruiting, a head coach being fired or when a head coach leaves for another program?
Man.
That's a good question.
They can both be bad for sure. But I will say this, a head coach being fired at least gives you a chance to be good, right? It's like a rejuvenation type thing.
Very clear.
But I'm thinking of some of the ones this year, like Washington's coach left for Alabama. That did not work out real great for Washington out of the gate. Like Jed Fish didn't hit the ground running at Washington. Same thing for Arizona. They kept a couple of key players, but they lost a lot of others. I actually think leaving of their own accord is worse than being fired. And I know that's different with some other people, but I think you could probably find instances where both were horrible, and you probably could also find instances where both were okay. Like Alabama, their coach left. He retired. It was a unique situation, but they ended up okay, right? They kept their quarterback. They kept the majority of their recruits. They actually added some recruits. They added some guys in the portal. I think it's 50-50 about which is better, but I would lean towards firing your coach is a better option than having him leave. Because that also leaving, you don't think that hurts the ego of the Washington faithful to watch their coach, or the Arizona faithful to watch their coach leave Arizona for Washington? I mean, that hurts. Now, it's one thing if he goes from Alabama to the Miami Dolphins, right? But from a college, from one college job to another, that tells every recruit and their brother that there is a pecking order, and Washington is below Alabama, and Arizona is below Washington. So that's the way I feel.
All right, this next question, guys, comes from Jesse. And Jesse says, do you think coaches have to worry about portal players sharing details of their program or the nuances inside of the schemes in which they run to the team that they portal to?
Hello, Jared Wiley, who apparently had some in Austin a year ago, not last year, but year before last, his first year in Fort Worth, apparently shared the playbook with the TCU coaches. How much of an effect did it have? I don't know. But the Texas offense looked like it was stuck in neutral or park the entire game in Austin 2 years ago.
So what you're saying is Jared Wiley was TCU's Connor Stallions.
Yes.
So maybe we should take Connor Stallions off the hook and realize the players are doing the same thing when they portal.
Well, they really are. I mean, you tell me that a guy doesn't come over with the playbook from somewhere else. I mean, they certainly do. And if a coach asks him for it, I think that there should be some honor among men, but there's no honor among thieves. And so I think that the college coaches, I would say certain ones are probably going to say, yeah, give me that playbook, buddy.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
The crazy thing is now in nowadays, some of it's on right on iPads and things such as that. Like, so,
yeah.
Hey, it's in these guys' possession.
Yeah, it may not look, an entire playbook is actually not a playbook anymore. It is on an iPad in most instances. Yep. So what coaches will do is if you leave the program, they cut off your access.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's this thing called copy and save and download that that kids can do.
By the way, the crazy thing nowadays with and I know this from NFL and I've heard about this at a couple of colleges as well. When they give you that through an iPad, they actually check and see who when they're away is actually studying and actually doing their homework and preparing in an off season or your month at home or, you know, your time away. They track it. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, they absolutely track it. You heard about the Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah.
Their playbook was online entirely and all the film study, et cetera. And they could track usage of the entire Johnny Manziel's usage of his iPad was zero. Yeah. He did not do anything to prepare. How do you pretend to be a pro quarterback and do nothing? Some people have a different view of the world than I do, and I guess Johnny Manziel is markedly one of them, or at least he was. He sounds like he's trying to turn things around today, but.
Some people are asking if I'm looking happy after that phone call. I mean, look, it's a good time to cover Texas.
Hey, somebody asked in the chat, somebody asked, is Jerry with his high saying specifically that Texas has a confirmed commitment?
Oh,
the answer to that is, I'll let you do it, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, guys, this next question is a loaded one here. Odin Horn says, can you please comment on Helmet Communications, Sark, Quinn, Bond, Cook, Moore, Golden, Bolden, Wingo, Helm, Nyblack, and the running backs out of the backfield? So I'm just going to let y'all pick apart what you want on that question and have at it.
I'm wondering who Quintavious is. Is that Trey Weiser? I mean, because he's an RB out of the backfield.
I think he's talking Quinn Ewers with that one.
That's just his nickname. Okay. Look, I mean, helmet communication has been defined for the offensive side of the ball. So that's going to be Sark and Quinn. And I think it turns off at either 12 or 15 seconds before the play. Is that accurate, Jerry? 15. I can't remember. We'll get into that and figure that out. But that's the helmet communications. The defensive side of the ball has not been decided, so I'll leave that out of it. Your question was more offensive-oriented anyways. I think that Texas has more weapons than they've had maybe since 05, 06 overall. So it's that caliber of offensive weaponry, if not better. I mean, Jamal Charles in the same backfield with Vince Young or Vince Young with Cedric Benson. That's just kind of ridiculous, right? But what they have now is I think they come at it from running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks. I think right now the quarterbacks and wide receivers, it's going to take 3 to 4, 5, 6 games for these wide receivers and Quinn, I think, to really be on the same page, unless they just kill it this summer and work hard and get ready for whatever's coming their way. Okay, I think it's going to be really hard for them to be great in the first 3, 4, 5, 6 games, not just because of the routes and the timing and all that stuff, but the speed of play, all of that stuff. But once they get it going, I think they've got a chance to be pretty special. I think the offense overall is as talented as it has been in the last 30 years. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, hey, Bobby, take away that offensive line a little bit,
right?
With the national championship team, along with Vince, Jamal Charles, Selvin, Ramontz, Shipley. You know,
hey, Bobby, you weren't on the live stream when Rod and I and CJ talked about this. The helmet communication is a huge deal for teams on the road. So if you think about Texas going into A&M next year, how helpful is that going to be for Steve Sarkisian to be able to talk to Quinn through headset communication at A&M. When you heard stories about Jackson Shipley, right? That said you literally were earshot to earshot and couldn't hear. But just the communication to get things moving in a faster, quicker pace, and that communication between quarterback and Sark, I think that's big for road games in college football for the teams on the road. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, you're still going to have the issues of actually getting the play off.
Right.
But getting the play in is, you know, getting the play in has not been a big issue, in my opinion. What will be an issue in those situations is if you get up to the line of scrimmage early, you can change the play earlier and your quarterback doesn't have to be looking to the sideline while also trying to get people lined up. That could give a little bit more of a nuanced edge, I think, to offenses that want to go.
Hey, Bobby froze. Midpoint.
Yes, I think he did freeze. All right, Jerry. Oh, man. Okay, well, we will
let's reset recruiting real quick.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's talk recruiting.
Yeah, we've had 2,000 people join in plus since we started the show. I watched Michael Fasusi work out yesterday, train with Donald Hawkins, former Texas offensive lineman and NFL offensive lineman, who does a great job with offensive line instruction in the DFW area. I got to watch Fasusi work with him yesterday. Obviously, the thing that fans care about is, okay, what's the order of the pecking order of the schools? Well, I think Texas A&M. I think he ultimately probably stays in state. I'm not ruling out Oklahoma. I think that's where we're headed now. Oklahoma third, Missouri fourth. He really likes Coach Jones, the offensive line coach at Missouri, as does Lamont Rogers. Missouri's a sleeper school, I believe, for Lamont Rogers. Coach Jones played at Tech, was at East Carolina under Lincoln Riley, where he got a start. Then he was under Sonny Dykes at Cal, then Houston. So he's doing some good work in the DFW area. Do I think Fasusi's going to Missouri? I don't. I think it's Texas A&M, Oklahoma. And I do think ultimately, as of right now, he probably stays in state. So it's going to be a true Texas versus Texas A&M battle with Oklahoma right across the Red River, giving it a strong go as well. So one of the more fun recruitments. Texas fans say that's not fun. It's fun to cover because, look, it's the rivalry's back, man. I mean, the rivalry is going to be back on the field shortly, but the rivalry is really back in recruiting with the move to the SEC because Texas and Texas A&M are going to be recruiting more similar guys, especially on the offensive and defensive lines moving forward. And with it being Fasusi, such a big recruit in Texas in 25 cycle, because – if you're Texas, you want to keep winning the five-star battles in DFW at premium positions, right? Colin Simmons, then there's Fasusi, DeCorian Moore this year. But then you look at Oklahoma, and they're really having the battle, right? Texas has got a stronghold in DFW right now. They're coming off a playoff season. Jeff Banks does a great job in DFW. The idea to hire Chris Gilbert was a great idea by Jeff Banks. Texas is really strong in DFW. Stronger than under previous staffs. What does that do? Puts more pressure on Oklahoma. Then you have A&M, who knows they have to get better in DFW under Elko, so they're making a strong move. Oh, and it just so happens they have to knock offensive line out of the park in 2025 because that's the weak spot in the program, was the weak spot on that team last year. Fasusi is a big recruitment. He may not be the number one player in the country or the number five player in the country, but it's a big recruitment for Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma for those reasons we just talked about. So it's a fun one.
All right, we're going to take some recruiting questions, too, while we're at it. But before we get into specific questions, we do have this one for you, Jerry, from Rex St. Charles. He says, you got any hoops portal updates?
Yeah, so JT Toppin, I expect to go to Texas Tech. I know Texas was right there, but look, here's the thing we talked about with Dominic Williams. There's certain everything has a price. And I just don't want, once that thing got to seven figures, I just don't think it was happening with Texas. Texas will, there's a couple other guys out there, maybe a couple grad transfers people don't know about yet. Texas will add another piece to the roster, their final piece to the roster. But at some point, it just doesn't make sense. And that's all I can say on that because, you know, some of these basketball guys are seven figures, even reaching up to 1.5. And man, that's a tough place to go. You're not going to do that very often at all.
All right, then this next one here from E. Kim. He says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Jerry, does Texas take full offensive and defensive line class in 2026, meaning five offensive linemen and four defensive linemen?
2026, so I expect that it'd be a five offensive line class in 25 for sure. Probably four high school D linemen in 25. I would go with a three or four man offensive line class in 26. Maybe four, depending on if anybody portals, things of that such. And defensive line, I would say probably three, backing up four class with three. It would be my bet right now. But now in the 25 offensive line class in Texas is really strong. And some people would say, well, it is every year. Yeah, but you know how that goes. Sometimes positionally it's better in some years than others. 25 is tremendous as a whole with depth on the offensive line in state. I think 26, John Turntine's as good as there is, period, and has been for the last 2 years since the first time we started watching him as a sophomore. Will 26 have the depth in the state that 25 does? Probably not, but Turntine's as good as there is.
And our next question, I know we kind of touched on him yesterday, but we've had a few people ask again today. This one comes from Catherine. Catherine asks, or first says, good morning, and then asks, any news on Michael Terry? I talked to his uncle last night, and he really wants him staying home and at Texas. He said he just got back from visiting Oregon. What's the latest on Terry, Jerry?
Yeah, Michael Terry will officially visit Texas June 7th through 9th. We broke that news yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. No, it was Monday, sorry. He visits Texas June 7th through 9th, then A&M the 14th through 16th. Oregon is his dream school. That was the school he loved growing up. You hear that a lot with kids, right? I mean, Oregon's, it's great uniforms, right? It's got the Phil Knight Nike appeal. But then you go out there and you visit, and man, it's a long way away. It's hard to get to. That's what Oregon faces, closing out recruitments on some of these kids. So we'll see what happens. He visited Nebraska late April. I don't think it'll be Nebraska. I think it'll be Oregon, Texas, and Texas A&M. I think those are the three right now. The interesting thing with Michael Terry, and he's a fascinating recruitment to follow as well, because he is a true athlete. He wants to play wide receiver. I think colleges are recruiting him as an athlete, maybe give him a shot at wide receiver, but maybe not. They're not thinking that's the long-term play for him. So could he be Amari Nyblak as a tight end? He's 6'2 and a half, 218, ran 10.8, fully automatic time 100. So he is that level athlete. Can he grow into that player? Is he going to be that physical? And Amari Nyblak's had to become more physical as he's gotten – as he's adjusted to the tight end position full time, or does Michael Terry project as an edge guy long term, rushing the passer with that 80-inch wingspan, that speed, that quickness, that frame to carry 250 pounds? Some people just say, "Well, make him a linebacker." I don't know if I buy that, Bobby. That's an instinctive position. You can't just stick somebody at middle linebacker and say, "Go play linebacker." Now, you can't put somebody on the edge and go get after the quarterback. So, I think there's a distinction in saying linebacker with a guy like Michael Terry, who's never really played middle linebacker and read keys and shown that he has the instincts to play that position. I think you want him coming off the edge, if he's on defense, as an outside linebacker type of edge spot where he can really use that athleticism. On offense, I know he wants to play wide receiver. Man, I kind of shift that more towards an Amari Nyblak, because if you're 6'2 and a half, 218, playing multiple sports in high school, there's no way you're not going to weigh 230 pounds. It's just not going to happen. You're going to be 230 plus.
Okay. Well, before we move on, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there one more time about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm.
Yeah, Adam's a friend of the program here at On Texas Football. We appreciate him very much. He and his firm, the Lowy Law Firm, have been sponsoring us for more than a year now. Thank you very much, Adam, for your time and commitment. If you've been in an auto accident, truck wreck, car wreck, ATV accident, motorcycle accident, and think you might be due some compensation because you've been injured or out of work, make sure you give Adam and his group a call or visit them at lowylawfirm.com. They'll give you a free consultation, no strings attached. Again, lowylawfirm.com. And thank you once again, Adam, for your support, generous support of On Texas Football.
Hey, Blake, there was a question I was going to bring up. Okay, Jesse Rodriguez had one. Jose Rodriguez got one I wanted to get to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who in the state do you really like in the 25 class, but UT has not pursued much so far? I love Charles Ross, the linebacker, North Shore, committed to LSU. Look, I saw him last year. Obviously, we've known that staff for years. Coach Cross, D coordinator, has been there for years. And he told me about Charles Ross last year when I went through early in the season. He said, you got to watch this guy. He said, Jerry, he runs 10-8. And at the time, 10-8, okay? At 6'1 and a half, 185 pounds. He ran 10-3-6. FAT at 195 pounds this spring. And I look at him. He's a physical kid. And I say, man, Jimmy Johnson would have been salivating over this guy, right, Bobby? I mean, he has speed you don't often see at the linebacker position. And he's got to fill out his frame. But just go down the list. How many linebackers that are going to play, guys that are going to play linebacker in college, have you ever seen run 10-3-6 in high school? You can probably count them on one hand, if not two or three fingers. That guy
Jimmy Johnson loved speed, man. Loved it. That was something you couldn't get. You either have it or you're chasing it, is what Jimmy Johnson used to say. Hey,
he's an intriguing guy.
I want to go back on something we were talking about earlier. Odin Horn said that Oregon is tearing down an indoor facility they built 7 years ago, and they're going to build a new one with a glass roof. I read earlier today that Penn State is undergoing a $700 million redo of their stadium, or improvements, enhancements, et cetera. You know, and so this whole idea that they can't spare $30 million, these major schools can't spare $30 million. Well, I'm not saying that everybody can, but some of them can. You don't spend $700 million or break down and build a new indoor facility if you can't find a way to make that happen on the other side. So there's a level there that the schools, I think, are doing a better job of not talking out of both ends of their mouth right now. The NCAA could have woken up to that and done that 40 years ago, 20 years ago. Schools are doing a better job. The NCAA is not.
All right, guys, we got time for just a couple more questions here. And let's take this one from Brian. We'll start with this one. Guys, is there one recruit Texas could get on board right now that would pull in other recruits more quickly?
I think DeCorian Moore would be the guy from a national notoriety standpoint, arguably the number one receiver in the country at Duncanville. It's not going to happen right now. I'd be surprised. I think they're going to go through the official visit process. That's Ohio State, May 31st through June 2nd. Then he has the OT7 Nationals for 7-on-7, June 7th, 9th weekend. Then it'll be Texas the 14th through 16th. Then it'll be Oregon the 21st through 23rd. Decision announced before his senior season, similar to what Colin Simmons did. So I think that'll be a very big announcement, right? Duncanville High School, it's live streamed by a lot of people. I think you'll see an announcement like that with DeCorian Moore. So just a late May commitment. I just don't think it's in the cards there. But he's the one guy that from a national perspective, you know, and if you look outside of the state of Texas, it might be a guy like Jamie French. But again, he's going to go through the official visit process. That would grab a lot of attention because Jamie French is a five-star receiver from Jacksonville. And while Texas has had success at IMG for the first time and in Orlando and in some of those Southwest Corridor areas under Tashard Choice, Jeff Banks, and now Kenny Baker helping out there too, Texas hadn't won in Jacksonville, okay? And that's the best prospect in Jacksonville in the class. That would kind of, with Ohio State, apparently was a big leader 3 months ago, and now they've fallen off. But Tennessee wants you. Florida wants you. Former Alabama commitment. One of the top players in the country. That one would gain a lot of traction. But again, he's going to go through the visit process and have a decision before his senior year. So I don't think, as of right now, those commitments will happen. I think those are going to go through the visit process and it'll play out a little bit longer.
So the Pied Piper types, which is what they're asking about, typically are quarterbacks and quarterbacks only.
And those guys are committing so
early. Yeah, and so Colin Simmons wasn't necessarily a Pied Piper, even though he's a ranked number one recruit in Texas, all that stuff. He wasn't necessarily a Pied Piper for Texas.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think that I don't think DeCorey Moore will be in that regard. Jerry, he's kind of that guy. I mean, the one that I'm thinking of right now is a 2026 quarterback could start a little bit of a movement in 2026.
That's actually a good point. I mean, you know, if a Texas gets a quarterback committed the first week in June, like they did last year, that's going to be a national guy. That could have the opportunity to create more momentum. But I think DeCorey Moore would be big. He's a DFW I-20 guy at Duncanville. He's a little different, but to your point, maybe not the pie. I'm not sure the Pied Pipers really exist anymore. Because of NIL, because of how recruiting's changed. I think seeing guys help, but I'm not sure there's a Pied Piper effect anymore like it used to be.
All right, and our final question for today is a super chat from McBoogerballs 512. He says, Bobby, you going to be playing the NCAA 25 game when it comes out in July?
I will attempt to play it.
That would be a funny live show. You and
Ryan. I may do it as well as I hit a golf ball, by the way. That was not a pretty performance for me on Friday. Ugh. I used to play golf a lot in my 20s when I'd take college coaches out to Lions golf course, basically, when they came through town in Austin, and they had some extra time on the road. I haven't really hit a golf ball in 10 plus years, and I am still almost in shock about how bad I played. I used to be able to play golf. I mean, I used to be shooting the 80s, high 80s. Man, I went out there and I felt like I was just brutal.
Hey, I'm going to bring this one up because that is actually that's really good news for Texas Tech's NIL. You're probably talking about Cody Campbell, the former Texas Tech offensive lineman. They did that
quite a few years ago. They're actually on to more and other endeavors right now.
Yep. But
look, I mean, I'm not. It's good. You still have to go to Lubbock.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to get there. You talk about the same with places like Eugene. You know, there are issues there.
Yeah. The question is, well, not that we're going to turn that into a show, but is Tech the favorite in the Big 12 moving forward for some of those reasons? That'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Okay.
Guys. I would say it's very possible because I like Joey McGuire as a coach overall, not some of his shenanigans, but I think I also like how they evaluate. I think they do a good job of evaluation. But you know where do teams like Arizona or TCU's won? I don't know. I don't think it's Baylor. I think Dave Aranda's. That's just. I think he may have had his shot and lost it. So we'll see. Gundy's not going away quietly.
No, I mean, Arizona will be really good this year because of the quarterback and the receiver. They're going to make a splash in the Big 12. I don't like TCU as the favorite. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. I'm not there with that. Utah?
Oh yeah, definitely Utah.
They're going to be the most physical team in the Big 12.
Utah will be the favorite.
Yeah,
it should be.
Hey, by the way, we'll talk about this tomorrow, guys, but. I was looking earlier this morning at some of the people are saying strength of schedules in college football this year. Blake and I, we're going to take a look at that for tomorrow, maybe talk about that. But it will come as no surprise. Florida has the hardest schedule. And some people have had Oklahoma with the third toughest schedule, which is key for Brent Venables in year three, trying to continue to ascend. And Texas is coming in about anywhere from 35 to 40th. In strength to schedule for this season. So Blake and I'll do a little research on that, and we'll have that for a topic tomorrow for all you guys. Talk about strength to schedule because the first year in the SEC strength to schedule, that's going to play into the season some of these teams have, the 12-team playoff, if you're in the playoff hunt. There's going to be a lot of things that factor in, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. And by the way, thank you guys for your continued support. I mean, we're growing like a weed. We're hotter than the brush fire in August. Whatever you want to say right now, on Texas football's 47,000, almost 400, man. We couldn't grow without all you guys' support, so thank you very much.
That's right. Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. We want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Wednesday, along with Manscaped as well. And if you haven't already, please hit that like and subscribe button. We would appreciate that. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime we have new content or go live. And then don't forget as well to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for around-the-clock discussion and Jerry and Bobby and CJ and all those guys bringing the goods nonstop there. So if you haven't checked that out, please do so, ontexasfootball.com. And as Jerry said, we'll be back tomorrow morning talk about strength of schedule and everything else that's happening with the Longhorn. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hook up, guys. Y'all take care.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.